Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Doris Emick in loving memory of Ron. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the sea, Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed to the people, for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and every one who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel is from John chapter 16, verses 23 through 33. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Here we are, sixth Sunday of Easter. Though we live in these latter days, we live in the light of Easter. And our eyes are to be fixed forever upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us in order that our sins may be forgiven. It's interesting that our reading from Numbers, as the people of Israel were led out of Egypt, they continued to grumble against God. The Lord was bringing them out of their slavery, and he was going to bring them into their own land, and yet they grumbled and were bitter and angry, and things were not good for them. The people became impatient on the way. What they said is kind of funny. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. And did you catch it? The contradiction there? You brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. There is no food and no water. Okay, so there's no food and there's no water in the wilderness. But then, immediately after that, they say, we loathe this worthless food. So evidently, there is food in the wilderness, right? And you know what that food is. The Lord promised to feed them, and he did indeed feed them for the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. He fed them with manna from heaven, and then he fed them quail from heaven. He gave them food every single day. Now, was it the best possible food that they could have ever eaten? No, I suppose not. I've eaten quail. It's okay. It's good. It's fine. But, you know, it's not really anything spectacular. I've never eaten manna, but from the sound of it, it just sounds kind of like ordinary, normal food. Nothing fancy, nothing wonderful, nothing to really get excited about. God gave them subsistence food. But nevertheless, God did give them food. Right? God did take care of them. He did preserve them. And he even did so miraculously. Obviously, they were receiving this food from the hand of God. There's no way that the quail could have just appeared there naturally. There's no way that this manna would have just suddenly come into existence, a source of food that previously did not exist and does not exist anymore. All right, this is a miracle from God, and yet they loathed it, and they considered it worthless food. They would rather be in Egypt. They would rather be slaves to the Egyptians than slaves to the Lord. The people, the Israelites, they loved this world, and they loved all that this world had to offer them. They loved this world more than they did the Lord. Right? What are our first three commandments? What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. Right? They wanted to have other gods. They wanted to be in Egypt. They wanted to worship the Egyptian gods. They liked the benefits of living in Egypt. They weren't treated well. They were slaves, but they liked that. And they did not like to have to depend upon the Lord. They were not content with what God was giving them. And so in punishment for their sins, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. But the Lord sent these fiery, bronzy serpents. I don't know exactly what these kinds of serpents were. Evidently, they were deadly. And so many of them died as a result of their ingratitude. The Lord punished them. And after the Lord punished them, they repented. They realized what they had said, what they had done was wrong. They confessed, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And so Moses prayed. He prayed for the people who really hated him. They spoke against God and against Moses. Moses still prayed for them, and God still cared for them. The Lord had Moses make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone, when he is bitten and he sees it, lives. God gave them a way in which they may be rescued from this punishment. This is kind of interesting, isn't it? God did not take away the fiery serpents. God didn't take away the hard things from them. He didn't take away their punishments. But he did give them a means of escape. fiery serpent set on a pole. And when you look upon it, and you're bitten, you live. Isn't this a beautiful illustration? Isn't this a wonderful foreshadowing of what our Lord has done for us? We're like the Israelites, aren't we? We're brought out of the slavery of our sins, and what do? We grumble and we moan and we complain. Oh, how often do we do this? How often do we grumble against God? God gives us all of these good gifts. Think of everything that you've received from Him. And you grumble against Him. Because you don't have quite what you want. You want to have something better. You want to have something different. You want to have what the world has. So you grumble and you complain. God sets up various leaders in front of you. God's given you your pastors. God has given you various men throughout your lives who have led you, and men before, and like Martin Luther and these folks, people like Moses. And how often do we complain and grumble about them? They've done nothing wrong, and yet we complain. Never happy. Always discontented with what we have received from the Lord. And still the Lord has mercy upon us. He doesn't always take away our sorrows, but He does set not a serpent on a pole, but He sends something far greater. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself was lifted up upon the cross, greater than a bronze serpent. The Lord Himself ascended the cross and was crucified, was nailed to the pole. And then when the devil bites us, when we sin, when we look upon, not a bronze serpent, when we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ in faith, when we trust in Him who is crucified for us, we look upon Him and we live. We are saved. And so as we groan under the weight of our sins, as we groan under this burden that we ourselves have inflicted upon ourselves, we still look to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent us He who has overcome the world, who has overcome Egypt, who has overcome our own selfish desires. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended the cross, and He overcame the world. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Indeed, your Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And so no matter the trials that you face from day to day, whether the trial is the result of your own sin or the sin of another, your Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. In spite of the tribulations, we look upon Him and we shall live. And in Him we have peace. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia.
I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.